Well, this morning, if you have your Bible, turn to Mark's Gospel, and we're going to look at the Word of God together. Mark, chapter 9. And I really believe God wants me to kind of bring a faith refresher. When I was younger, we used to have a sweet called Refreshers. Anybody ever have? Are they still going? Refreshers, and you put them in your mouth and it'd be going, ooh, because I think there's a bit of sherbet, and your whole mouth would be going, wow, explosions. I love that. Also, stuff that you put in your mouth that goes pop, crackle. Has anybody ever had it? Yeah, anyway, moving on, off sweets and onto the Word. But I believe the Lord wants to bring that kind of refreshing pop, wow, to your faith today. So, Father, I want to thank you that you are the greatest refresher and that you're able to make the things that have become kind of a duty alive again, that you're able to take the Word of God and bring that kind of connection on the inside of us that makes us understand life, that life makes sense your way round. And so I want to pray for the revelation of your Word this morning through faith in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to a man who was describing the illness that his boy had and seeking God, seeking Jesus really to help him. And in verse 23, he said, if you can, in other words, Jesus was actually saying, if. You need to take the if out, because he can. And he goes on to say, everything is possible for him who believes. Say that over your life. Everything. Now, this isn't man's word. This is God's word. So let's say that again. Everything is possible for him who believes. Salvation is possible for him who believes. Everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus and confesses with their mouth will be saved. And so any sinner, no matter how bad they are, and we need to hear this in a fresh way, any sinner, no matter how bad they are, if they believe in Jesus, they will receive everlasting life. They will receive his life, God's life. It doesn't matter how long someone's been a sinner. And it doesn't matter what they have done in their life of sin. Jesus is the Savior of all who believe. Yes, he's the Savior of all. He died for all. But those who believe receive salvation. There's victory in prayer for him who believes. So in other words, you get prayer answers. When you pray, Jesus said, believe that you receive. So in other words, believe that it's yours before you see it. And that actually is how faith works. You believe first, and then you see it. Overcoming trouble is actually according to our faith. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have troubles, because we all have troubles. But we are here to use our faith. Jesus wants to give us faith that overcomes that trouble. So it's possible to win every trial you're in. Say to somebody next to you, it's possible to win every trial you're in. How? By faith, because everything is possible for him, for the person, or for the girl, the lady, who believes. We can only serve God by faith. Because we can't see the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives unless we believe. His exceedingly great power towards us who believe, Ephesians says. And so, faith will stop the mouths of lions, which was Daniel's experience. He was in a lion's den, and his faith was, he was coming out. And God stopped the mouth of lions. Jesus, when he was going across the water, the lake, the storm rose. And the disciples thought they were going to die. And Jesus actually said to them, "Where is your faith?" In other words, he's expecting them to actually deal with storms. And he expects us, personally, to deal with the storms that come up in our lives, so that the things that come to conquer us, we become more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now the big question is my faith, is your faith working? Because God has designed the Christian life to work. He has never planned for you to fail. The Word of God says, thanks be to God, because he always leads us in triumphant procession in Christ. And everything is possible for him who believes. There may be a time when it doesn't look like I'm winning, but if I receive faith and continue in faith, I will prove that through Jesus, I am more than a conqueror. And so this amazing statement, everything is possible for him to who believes, isn't just to be a theory or a theology. Because theology, you know, you have a lot of theologians who know the word probably better than you and I, but they don't know the word. They know the word in their brain, but they don't know. Because only what you believe will you see the fruit of. And so it's believing the word, faith in the word, that transforms every situation and brings it into the will of God, which is that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loves us. So is my faith a living reality? Or am I living in a kind of pseudo-Christian world with a nice concept but without the earthing of faith in my experience? That's a good question, church. Because the problems that you and I face will continue to come. But we need to know how to overcome those problems and get to the other side and say, well, yeah, I am more than a conqueror because I've conquered something. Now think back. If you've been a Christian for a little while, have you conquered anything? So you've seen faith win. Praise Jesus. You have proven in some things you are more than a conqueror. Praise the name of Jesus. But this faith isn't just to be kind of for a crisis or a moment. It is something that's to be our experience as we go on in our Christian journey. We're not just to have a theology about faith, but we're to see the results or the fruit of our faith. Paul said, let's turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Now, Paul had a great apostle of God, a great man of God, wrote all the letters, had revelation of the in Christ teaching. He had stuff that actually Peter and John never saw. And the great thing is, what he had from the Lord, which is the word of God, is written down so that we can live in the greater revelation of in Christ Jesus because of the word that has been given us. But Paul, I want you to think about this. Paul wrote this word to Galatia, to the church in Galatia, 20 years or so after he'd become a Christian. So it wasn't just for a new believer. He was proclaiming this truth 20 years in to being saved. And this is what he said. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, so terra firma land, earthing it, this life as I'm walking around through work, through home, through everything that I'm doing, the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is an amazing revelation, it's an amazing word that tells each one of us that if you've believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you no longer live the old sinner, the old person who could not please God, is dead, crucified with Christ. Now, if you really knew that, you'd be so happy. Because in your flesh, there's no good thing. So in other words, without Jesus, you cannot please God. Nothing about you could ever please God except Jesus in you. That's why you had to be crucified with Christ. And Paul said, 20 years on, I no longer live. In other words, the self, me, myself, I am not living for what I want. I am not living out of my own strength. I am not thinking that I know all the answers. I am not the answer. Christ lives in me. Because when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you as the Spirit of Christ. Another, just like Jesus, lives in me. Surely everything is possible now for me. Because Christ lives in me. But Paul was still saying, I am acknowledging every day that I no longer live. When I go to work, I no longer live. When I get up in the morning, I'm not saying now, how good am I? What, how great I am. Look what I can do with my life today. I'm saying, Lord, without you I can do nothing. Thank you, Lord, that you are the strength of my life. You're my wisdom. You're my ability. You're my leader, my good shepherd. You will lead me today. So Paul said, I'm not living as a Christian as if Christ doesn't live in me. I'm living with Christ in the helm. Or in the lead of my life. And this life, Paul said, that I'm living, can't be lived by feelings. It can't be lived by experiencing, oh, the Holy Spirit, now at least I know God's here. The life that we live by faith. What is faith? Treating life or just believing that Jesus is in me and is my power, even if I don't feel it. And to believe means I trust him, I rely on him, and I'm going to act on who he is. Because he lives in me, I can act on his ability in me. And the biggest danger we have in our Christian lives is we're always responding to what we feel. Where Jesus is saying to us through his word today, the only way you can live the Christian life is by faith. Being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we don't see. So I'm hoping for a total manifestation of Jesus this morning, and I'm not feeling anything. I can't touch, oh, I can feel Jesus is here, but I believe he is. I believe he's in you if you're born again. I believe you're awesome because you've got Christ in you. I don't believe you're awesome without Christ. I think you're a sinner who needs Jesus. You're not awesome without Jesus. He loves you, but you'd be going to hell. And you can do nothing for God without Jesus. But because you believe, you have Jesus. And Jesus is the good. Jesus is the good. He is the best, actually. He's amazing. He is the life of God in you. And so, that experience of more than conquerors happens as we live out our life by faith. And really, I want you to hear this morning, it's not just about meetings. To have faith when we pray together, or when we worship, or when someone's ministering. But the life of faith happens in the classroom. It happens as you're driving on the road. It happens when you go and do the shopping. It happens when you get a bill in. It happens in our relationships. Now, how do we know that we are saved? How do we know? Now, look with me to 1 John chapter 3. Because I believe you have experienced salvation if you truly are born again. And you will witness with this if this is you. Verse 9, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. Are we there? This is the word of God. We honor the word here, okay? So how do we know we're a Christian? We need to answer it with the word. Because you can't tell really what a Christian is unless you read your Bible. And believe it. Okay? And see the fruit of it. But this is what this word is saying. No one who is born of God will continue to sin. Because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God. Nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Oh, isn't this an amazing scripture? I love the word. It's black and white. It's down the line. It sorts everything. So, someone says they're a Christian, and there's absolutely no change life. They continue to do everything that they used to do before they said they became a Christian. The word of God would say, if they continue to sin, now this doesn't mean as Christians that we do not at times sin. Aren't you glad that there's a scripture there too in 1 John that says, if anyone sins, we can confess our sin. And God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But this word means to go on deliberately doing what you know to be wrong. Hello, church, are we all right? To go on sinning, deliberately doing what you know is wrong. That person is not a child of God. Because they're showing it by their fruit, the way they live. And so faith is experienced in the way you live. It isn't just the words you say or what you look like in church, even though you do look lovely. It's actually the fruit that actually you won't do what you know is displeasing to the Lord. Now, the word of God says here that we know that the children of God won't continue to deliberately sin, But we also see something about the children of God here, that anyone who doesn't love his brother is also not a child of God. So, to answer the question, if you're born again, can you see the fruit of your faith in the way you experience your life? Yes, you can. I was talking recently to some new believers in the church, and it's a joy to really see the new birth outworked in them. And they said something, one of the ladies said, do you know, I got so mad with that person. And she said, I've always done that. But this time, since I've been a Christian, I feel very uncomfortable getting mad. Oh, I said, you really are saved. Because you're uncomfortable if you're doing the wrong thing. How many of you have experienced that? Not just when you first get saved, but you're uncomfortable now. When you say the wrong things, when you criticize, when you moan, the Holy Spirit will be going, no, you're grieving me. And you will know on the inside, because you have a new heart. You've been given the new spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And you have a sensitivity in your heart and a desire to please God and to follow Jesus. Now, that's why Paul says it's really important that I understand I no longer live. So in other words, I can go back to doing what I want to do and ignore that uncomfortable feeling on the inside. Or I can say, Lord, it's not me anyway. I'm not going to get my own way in this. I'm going to go your way. I'm not going to do what I always do in reacting and having a hissy fit, getting angry, or shouting and screaming. I'm going to say, Lord, it's not I. Flesh, you have been crucified with Christ, and today I declare, Lord, live in me. I'm going to be gracious. In this moment of heat, Christ, live in me. Live through me. You see, the faith life is experienced. It's a reality, not just a theology. Is this good? I'll give you a testimony, because as Paul said this 20 years on, I have to say the Holy Spirit is still putting his finger on things in my life. 23 years on. Has anybody ever experienced recently the Holy Spirit put his finger on anything? If not, I'm going to pray for you, because you need to know that you're in the flesh if you think you're brilliant. Because you're not. We're saved by grace. We're new creations. But there's a process called transformation, which means you are being changed by the power of his life in you from one degree of glory into another. Hallelujah. And so when your flesh wants to react, the Holy Spirit wants to say, die to that. Don't say what you want to say right now. Don't come and say, well, it's in my opinion, this is what should be. But let the love of Christ and the peace of God just fill you in that moment and say, help me, Lord, to express Jesus and act as though it's Christ in me. I was driving recently, and it is one of my issues, I have to be honest with you, that the Lord has recently put his finger on. Because how many of you know you can be going along happily and get away with things for a while? Until he actually says, it's like going to the dentist. And when they find that little tender spot in your tooth, you don't half know when the dentist touches it. And when the Lord says, actually, Judith, I want to deal with this, it's like, sorry, Lord. You're right. Of course, he's always right. Anyway, I'm driving, and One of the things that really gets me riled, okay, this is my flesh, and I'm not boasting about my flesh, I'm boasting that the Lord can change me. One thing that gets me really riled is when I'm driving and I let somebody go first, and they totally ignore the fact that I've let them in. And I'm like, ungrateful. Look at that. You know, and I'm almost Italian. In that moment, my flesh becomes almost Italian. I love Italians, but it's like, hey! Or if they cut in and they do something on the roads that's dangerous, did you see that? I'll say to Sandra if she's next to me, did you see that? Can you believe it? Now, of course, you never do this. But you do have your own issues. Whatever they are, I don't really want to know what they are, but let the Holy Spirit deal with them. But he's dealing with me in this moment. And how did he do that? He actually said, I'm kind to the unthankful. Now that's in the Word of God. God is kind to the unthankful. Think about the ramifications of living that word. You representing Jesus, being kind to the unthankful. We don't like it, do we, if we serve someone and they're not thankful? We react. We don't like it if people aren't thankful, if our husband or wife does something for the other, and actually they just treat it as though, yeah, whatever, so you should. It doesn't really help relationships, does it? Being unthankful. And the Lord said to me, I'm kind to the unthankful. And do not repay evil with evil, but with blessing. Now I'm in a moment then, where the life I'm either going to live in that moment will either be I am living rather than Jesus, or Christ is living in and through me. Can you see how this is supposed to be real in this example? And in that moment, I had to say, Lord, help. Help. Help me to be kind. So that when anybody drives in a way that is either disrespectful to me as another driver or unthankful, I'll be saying, there'll be no heat in my flesh, but I'll get to the point where I'll go, bless you. Now that is a miracle. Isn't it? Now, this is the real life of faith. In that moment, I have to live by faith that the Lord's power in me is greater than my ability to do that. It's his power, his patience with people. This scripture says, we know that we're children of God because we love one another. You love your brother. Now, biblically speaking, your brothers mean sisters as well. Are those of us in the church? This is what scripture is saying. But of course, Jesus means in your own family, your natural family, he means in the world. We're to love everyone. But specifically, we are to love one another. Now, you can do that quite well, providing nobody upsets you. Because you think you're good at loving people. But if you've experienced things where actually someone takes you to the limit and God then says, love them, you're like, Lord, how am I going to do that? How can I love people around me, my brothers, my sisters, people in my faith group, people who even sit next to me in church? People that actually I'm sitting over the other side of the room from because I don't get on with them. I'm trying to avoid them. How am I going to love them? If you tell me that this is a sign that I'm born again, how will I love them? Well, the life I now live by faith. in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so he is my ability to love in the biblical way, the 1 Corinthians 13 way, where love is patient. That's the love of God. Love is kind. It doesn't boast. It doesn't envy. It's not self-seeking. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And if you've been called, as I have, to love this crowd and the crowd you're from, the church you belong to, then you will not be able to do it without faith. Because only faith in God means you're trusting in Jesus to give you his ability to love everyone with this amazing unconditional love. Because we still are fairly conditional with our love. I will love you if you love me. But Jesus says love actually takes the initiative and is kind. It actually looks to bless everyone else around us. It's not self-seeking, it's giving. True love gives. I get worn out, as you do, from takers. Even though I still give, because that's what God's called me to do, I get tired from takers, do you? But imagine if we all became givers, seeking to help one another in all that God wants to do, to give blessing and to look out for one another. Imagine the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. You see, faith only works through love. And people sometimes think they've got faith that God will do miracles, but without love, it won't produce anything. And so, this radical life of faith isn't in our ability. It's in his ability in us. To forgive, to keep no record of wrong. If you're offended with someone, then you have a record of wrong. And we are not obeying the Lord's command. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And this keeps us dependent on Jesus every day of our lives. We know that we're children of God because we are not perfectly, but doing things that please him, not the things that don't. We know we're children of God if we love our brothers. What an amazing word that God gives for his church. And how amazing is this new life that he has given us. Now, this life of faith, I believe we can learn a whole lot more. Let's look at Joshua before we come into land this morning. I think it's, as a pastor, I see people come and go. And I see a lot of stayers as well. Well done, guys. Keep going on with the Lord. But I see people who kind of do the pick and mix thing. In and out, round about. And aren't committed to loving the body that God has called them to be in. And to serving and to giving in the local church. And I also see people who say that they've become Christians, but have no fruit. And Jesus said, by their fruit, you know them. Let's wise up and let's be accountable ourselves to the word. Is Jesus seeing the fruit of his life in me as I live out my life loving my brothers and sisters in Christ, and living in righteousness. Because this is the will of God for all of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now Joshua, and I think this is laying the foundation, the love and the reality of righteousness in our lives, the experience of our faith. We just laid the foundation. Now Joshua is God's calling Joshua to lead the people to inherit the land. And the way that he was to succeed was a way that nobody in the world would ever say you will be successful. In other words, your boss isn't going to call you in and say, you're going to be really successful at work if you do what Joshua did. But God tells his children how to succeed. Isn't that great? God gives us wisdom on how to succeed in life. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. He says to Joshua and he says to each one of us this morning, do not let this book. Now, which book is he talking about? Bill Johnson's latest? Even though that's good. He's talking about the Word of God, the Bible. Do you know that this is the book that will bring you success? Yeah. Because it's the Word of God. And the Word of God is powerful. And the Word of God changes everything. It creates anything. And it works miracles. And so God says to Joshua, this is the secret of your success. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Say mouth. Now to say that, you had to open your mouth and use your voice, didn't you? So God was saying to Joshua, it's not just reading it, it's speaking it. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Okay, it says then, meditate on it. Now that's thinking and speaking in the Hebrew culture to meditate, and many cultures do this much better than the English or the British culture. Because we think just thinking about something is enough. God says it isn't, because you need to say it over and over again. Say the same thing. Say what God says over and over again. To meditate, for example, on the Word of God, everything is possible for him who believes. So if I'm going to meditate on that word, I'm going to think it, speak it, and then think about it and speak it again. Everything is possible for him who believes. Everything is possible. And I'll put me in there. For me who believes. Everything is possible for Judith who believes. Everything is possible. Everything. I start to think. Now what happens as I speak the word of God has power. Say power. The Word of God is living and powerful. And as I speak the Word of God has power to bring faith to my spirit or my heart. Because faith comes by hearing. Now, if Joshua was going to meditate on the Word of God day and night, faith was going to come. And therefore, everything was going to be possible for Joshua because he believed. Now, if you do not meditate on the word, or if you don't read the word, speak the word, pray the word, your faith will be weak. This is a good word from the pastor this morning. Your faith will be weak. Tell somebody next to you, I don't want my faith to be weak. And say to them, I want to be successful in the Christian life. Jesus wants you to be successful. To show and reveal Jesus, to think, speak, and act like Jesus in this world. And Joshua was told to meditate on this word day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written on it. So it's not just meditation, it's action. Show me your faith, James says, by what you do. Come on, come on. Be doers of the word, not hearers only deliver yourself from deception, beloved brother or sister, and get into the real Christian life, which is become hearers and doers of the Word of God, not someone else's word, not your friend's best insight, but the Word of God that lives and abides forever. If you do the word, Joshua, meditate on it, so it brings you to faith. If you meditate on everything is possible for him who believes, by the end of the week, you're going to believe that everything is possible for every. You started off this morning, oh, that would be nice. Some of you did, didn't you? Wouldn't that be nice? But everything is possible for me if I believe. And how do I receive faith? Well, God will give it to me. I'll come to him and I'll receive the word. Now, Jesus is determined to bring you to faith, but you have to work with him. You are in partnership with him. And wherever Jesus went, he went preaching and teaching the kingdom. In other words, he preached the word. The word preached the word. But he preached the word. And he said, he described the word like this. He said, a farmer goes out to sow seed. And a farmer knows if he's not sowing seed, he ain't gonna get harvest. And he knows that if Joshua doesn't meditate and act on the word, he's not going to be the leader that God wants him to be. He knows that you won't reach your destiny in God unless you sow the word daily into your hearts. Every day you take a scripture, you meditate on it, you speak it, it brings you to faith, you act on it. And you will see the power of God in your life. Jesus knew some would be only hearers. He wasn't put off, he still sowed. He knew some would take it and then the seed would be lost. They'd receive it with joy and they wouldn't last. How many of you want to last? How many want your faith to continue to grow and live by faith every day of your life so that you go from faith to faith? Well, it's not possible if you read all the newspapers and all the stories and all the things on Facebook and you don't get the Word of God into your heart and you don't speak the Word of God over your mind. And you don't declare the word of God into the face of your circumstances. And it's not possible for hearers only. We must become doers and not be deceived. And once again, we are in a culture that we think just because we hear something, it's done. But we must live in kingdom culture, which is like Joshua and like Peter. Peter, don't just hear the word, act on it. And every generation of believers who have a good, noble heart receive the seed and it produces 30, 60, and 100-fold. I said it produces 30, 60, and 100-fold. There is a fruitfulness in your life that comes because you apply and co-work with Jesus in the sowing of the Word of God. How do you sow the Word? You have personal time reading and speaking the Word of God over your life. You come to church, you hear the preaching and the teaching of God's Word as you have today. You put yourself under the Word of God and you need to receive it from the preacher as from God. Because Paul says that it works effectively in those who believe, because that's what it is. It's the word of God I'm preaching this morning. Be careful to do everything that is written. Love one another. Be careful to love one another. Forgive one another. Deal with the things the Holy Spirit puts his finger on. That's the real life of faith. Because it's not just theology. It's translated into reality. Parents, be patient with your children and with your married partner. Be patient, be kind to one another, help one another. Don't criticize, don't gossip, you will grieve the Holy Spirit. Be doers of the word. Simple, but successful Christian living. This is simple, but it's so profound and so powerful. Praise the name of Jesus. Have you got 5 more minutes? Can I just finish with this in Kings, 2 Kings? Ah, Lord, may we be those people who respond to your word and to the life of your spirit. And don't just go on in unreality. Thank you that faith works. I just declare that this morning. Faith works. Whatever your experience and my experience has been, whatever I feel, faith works, because everything is possible for him who believes. I've been through tests of provision where I've had nothing, where I've had no income, where I've had no one to pay my rent, and every month God supplied more than enough. But I was faithful from the start to be a doer of the word, because the word says, give. Don't just hear it. It says, give, and it will be. And some people just want the, it will be given. And they miss out the give. Don't be hearers only, but be doers of the word. And I've seen God put into my hand thousands of pounds over the years when I've had no income per se. But God has provided cars, housing, food, money for insurance, even money for holidays. Oh, he's a good God. And I must say, he's the best one at provision. There is no one like Jesus. But I've learned to do life his way. I am a doer. And so, you know, God has given me success. I had an email from Philip this week. And he said, it's awesome, Pastor Judith. We only paid $600,000 for this building. Down the road, there's a one-bed flat for $199,000. We could fit 3 of those flats in one room. And we've got 3 floors. Isn't God amazing? This is God's provision. I know through faithful givers. But God has done amazing things. And faith, living by faith, has brought us to this point. But we're going to continue for the greater things still. Now in 2 Kings chapter 5. Thank you, Jesus. I think we can learn something here about the life of faith through Naaman. I love this story. I love the book of Kings, because there's loads of miracles and but everything's because people speak and act on the word of God. Because that's what God always does. He speaks, and those who act on it, believe and act on it, actually see the fruit of it. And here we have Naaman. Let's read verse 1 together. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram, and he was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, if you just think about this brilliant man, I mean, he was what you call gifted. He was somebody you'd like to be on his team, because it seemed everywhere he went, he was successful. And so everybody thought how amazing he was. And they'd tell him. The king told him, we think you're brilliant. His wife said every day, honey, you're amazing. And this is all without Jesus. Okay, now the Lord was working through him, but he didn't acknowledge Jesus. He didn't acknowledge God at this point. And God gives gifts to people, whether they're saved or unsaved. And so he was one of these gifted people, but very kind of self-reliant. I can imagine him a good guy, but actually very confident in himself. And he had an area or part of his life he wasn't winning in. Now, to somebody who likes winning, it was very frustrating. I can imagine him getting very frustrated with this one area. He could conquer the world. He could do amazing things. But this one little area, healing of his body, he couldn't see a miracle in. And there was a slave girl, a servant girl in his household, who told his wife, there's a prophet in Israel. You go and go to him and he'll get healed. In other words, there's a God in Israel where you can be healed. And so Naaman heard this, and faith must have come to some level. Because faith comes from hearing about God, doesn't it? What God does. And so this was the truth. So off he went, and he, let's just cut in at verse 9. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him to say to him, go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought he would surely come out to me, stand and call on the name of his Lord, of his God, and wave his hand over this spot and cure me of my leprosy. So he had a way, he had his own way of thinking about how he was going to be healed. Most of us think we know how we're going to sort life at certain points. It needs to be proven we don't, because otherwise we don't need a savior. And he's angry. He thinks that this is how it's going to happen. In verse 12, he says, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of these waters of Israel? We've got superior country where I'm from. I prefer the rivers in my country. And so he said, couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. He's having a moment. He's having a strop. This leader, he's allowed to strop. If he wants to strop, he can strop. He's in charge. If he wants to be mad, he can be mad. How dare anybody heal me in the way I don't want? And so off he goes. And he has another servant, and I just love the pictorial language here, the difference in attitude to people who are servants and those who consider themselves masters. Masters like to tell everybody else what is going to happen. Servants get told how it's going to happen. And Jesus became of no reputation and became the greatest servant of all. And so Naaman has this servant, and he said, Master, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he repented. I love repentance. He changed. To change is actually part of the life of faith. Repent. Change the way you think about how your life's going to work. He repented. And he said, right, I'll go and do it. He went into the Jordan and dipped himself 7 times. And as the man of God had told him, the flesh was restored and it became clean like that of a baby. Oh no, young boy. And the secret here, and I think just to finish, the life of faith is the real life of the new birth, the new person. It's the only way you can live the Christian life. But we need to approach what God says, his word, not like the first phase of Naaman, and get mad when the word of God or when God puts his finger on something and go off and have a hissy fit. I've spoken the word of God to a few of you, and some of you have had a hissy fit. But you've repented. And God's worked a miracle. Because that's the way God works. We are not here to actually try and fit the word of God around our own minds and lives. We're here to submit or surrender to God's word. And in this, this man, can you imagine? He gets off his chariots. He brought a lot of them to show off. This proud man, because pride actually hinders faith. Pride hinders faith. You think you're all right when you're not. Hinders faith. But a humble man, he gets down. He changes position. He gets down off his horse. And he gets into the Jordan, feeling a bit self-conscious. I can imagine all my men are watching me. And I've got to not only be baptized once, 7 times. I've got to dip 7 times. So it isn't just hearing the word. He says, I've got to continue doing the word until I see the result. Sometimes you and I don't mind doing it once or twice. Ask me to do it 7 times, which is speaking of until it's completed. To keep on doing what God says to do until it's finished, until you see the results. Because faith isn't always instant. As we live out the word of God, doing the word of God, as we continue to dip, I submit to the word. And I'd come up, Father, I submit again, and I'm going to do your word. I will keep doing and giving thanks in all circumstances, because this is the will of God for me in Christ Jesus. I will rejoice in the Lord always. I will give thanks in all circumstances. I will praise you, Lord, with all of my heart. I will give. I will love my brother. I will dip in humility and forgive whoever has hurt me. I will keep going with the word of faith. I will continue to walk in the way of God. And you will make your way prosperous. The real life of faith. A life that has proven to everyone you're a child of God. Because you've left sin behind. And you're walking in righteousness. A life that proves that you really are born again because you love your brother. And a life that submits whatever he says. I'm going to do it. Whatever he says. Because I know his plans are good. But I can't reach my destiny and I can't see the miracles unless I do the word. Praise the name of Jesus. A faith refresher. Let's live by faith. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.